Beloved Church of God, I greet you. May the Lord bless your hearts with peace and with wisdom, and may He clothe you with the light of His revelation. Due to the fact that one of our sisters, Lyubov Krenkovich, has moved from the measurement of time to the dimension of eternity, and we, because of the circumstances that have given rise to both the attitude of the people of this world and the attitude of the wicked and lawless people who have filled the congregation of the holy people of God, and this time, which God is successfully using to prepare His people to meet with Him, to affirm His covenant in their hearts, cannot hold our usual traditional service to part with the body of our deceased sister. I want, through the internet, to appeal to the grieving relatives of our sister Luba and to all saints who knew her to comfort with the word of the Lord which lasts forever and does not depend on the circumstances that take place in time, but on the contrary, dominates and rules over these circumstances. Provided that this word, in the format of a covenant we have made with God, dwells in our hearts in the dignity and format of the fruit of righteousness offered by us, through which God, at His time, will change the status of our body in the dimension of time from a perishable state to an imperishable one. And the bodies of the saints that died in faith in the existing promise will be resurrected as imperishable in order to meet Him in the heavenly clouds. And the sermon that is intended to magnify the Word of God over the phenomenon of life and death bestowed upon us in the dimension of time and to comfort our hearts is called A Time to Die. As it is written, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. First, we should perceive this truth not so much by one's intellect, but by the reasonable possibilities of our good and wise heart, or rather, through the work of the reasonable possibilities of our wise heart with the reasonable possibilities of our soul, renewed by the spirit of our mind. Second, this truth should be perceived not as a verdict of the judgment of God for the sin of our forefathers, which cannot be imputed to us since we, with the cross of the Lord Jesus, were separated from the sinful life passed on to us from our fathers. It should be perceived as the great and wondrous work of God manifested by Him in the adoption of our body through the redemption of Christ, as it is written, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. From these words it follows that this is not a verdict of time to be born and to die, but a blessing, a certain supernatural knowledge that is given only to God's chosen remnant. And so, to not recognize the time of our death means to not be prepared for death. And this in turn means to lose salvation given to us according to the grace of God in the format of a deposit. Therefore, the phrase, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, means God speaks and delivers His sentence, not always, but only during the time defined by Him in the format of a harvest, when He begins to weigh us on His scales of truth. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. Job 33:14. In fact, the phenomenon of time consisting of the readiness to die or to be weighed on the scales of truth, a time in which we must know that we've come to the time of harvest, this is a great treasure and incomprehensible mystery. And depending on our attitude toward time, it can appeal and become for us either a blessing or curse, or the finding and gaining of eternity, or on the contrary, the ultimate loss of eternal life and the acquisition of eternal death. In Scripture, there are more than 700 places that speak of time, and based on the reflection and analysis of these places in the Holy Spirit, I want to recall some of the components of the definition and purpose of the phenomenon of time, and also our attitude toward its unearthly status. Time is the time of life and the time of death in the dimension of time that have been defined by the Word of God emanating from His mouth, because of which they have been elevated to the status of the unchanging law of God, by which should be judged both God Himself and His promises, over which He is vigilant so that they will be fulfilled at the time set by Him. Then the Lord said to me, says Prophet Jeremiah, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. chapter 1, verse 12. The phrase, "I am ready to perform my word," means to place himself voluntarily dependent on his word in order to become a voluntary servant of his word. Considering that God fully knows the inexhaustible possibilities of the word he speaks in relation to the length of our lives and time of our death, in which he weighs our words and how they meet the requirements of his word, he is very serious about the terms of the harvest in which he has long concluded his predestinations yielded by the time of our death, in which he weighs us on the scales of truth to give us an inheritance with saints or deprive us of this inheritance and blot out our names from the book of life. This means that God, in determining his timing tied to the fulfillment of his promises in relation to our lives and our death, proceeds not from our limited capabilities, but from the capabilities defined by his word. In other words, in order for us to inherit his promises, God has presented us to the possibilities or the capabilities of his word. First, a person cannot invest in God's time frame to be prepared to die or to weigh himself on the scales of truth if he, because of his ignorance and cruelty, rejects the possibilities of the word of God and tries to use his own possibilities to achieve God's purpose. Second, a person cannot invest in God's time frame to be prepared to die or to weigh himself on the scales of truth if he does not pay attention to God's signs defining the nature of the time of harvest and tries to use God's possibilities not in the time frame set by him. One of the main dangers that threatens our formation into the image of God and makes us incapable of distinguishing the signs of time pertaining to our harvest or our weighing on the scales of truth is our nourishment from our mother's breast and the time it was necessary to leave that breast. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. There is a time when it is necessary to eat the breast milk of our mother, and there is a time when it is necessary to remain a child of your mother while switching to solid food. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Genesis chapter 21, verse 8. This doesn't mean that he was taken away from his mother and stopped to be a son of his mother and his father, but this is a great sign and a great image. And instead of going to salvation, many saints, because of this, go to perdition, because many could not leave the breast of their mother and move on to solid food. Therefore, remaining fed from the breast milk of the mother and not moving on to solid food, they do not know the word of righteousness. They cannot discern the signs of times when they shall die. When the time comes, they don't know. That's why they die immediately and unexpectedly, as the people of this world do. If we, for whatever reason, miss a certain time for us by God and remaining the child of our mother, do not switch to solid food, our formation in the image of God will cease to meet the requirements of God. And therefore, we will not be formed in the image of God in our spirits and will turn into foolish sons. When a person misses and does not notice the time God has established for him, Scripture defines these people as unwise. The sorrows of a woman in childbirth shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long where children are born. Hosea chapter 13, verse 13. Whenever we cannot discern the signs of time, we will show our irrationality and bear the appropriate suffering for which we will not be rewarded and which will be a just retribution for our irrationality. Our developed carnal nature that has learned to comprehend everything with its intellect will turn both against us and against all that comes from the Spirit of God. Because when the time for feeding from the breast expires, the Spirit of God will cooperate with us on completely different terms. And we don't understand these conditions. We don't accept the solid food. We want to understand everything with our intellect. We don't want God to speak to our heart. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Based on Scripture, time is the law and order of eternity, which on the scales of divine justice measures in years, months, days, hours, minutes, and seconds both the existence of all passing phenomena and objects. To economize our time, I will simply remind us of the essence of time necessary for the formation of ourselves into the image of God, or for our readiness to accept the Holy Spirit in the subject of the still small wind, to be prepared for the time of death in which we will be weighed on the scales of truth, so that we can die calmly, still. Time is a phenomenon that must be studied because it is magnified above all existing disciplines and rules over them. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 5 says about this. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. You see, all of these sufferings, afflictions, losses, not understanding of what is happening. In fact, God wants to see, are you going to remain faithful in this state? He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So when there are certain difficulties in life, this is the time when we must live according to the Word of God and with the Word of God that comes from the mouth of God. He wanted to show that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 5. And so, continuing, time is the program that is contained in the seed of eternity, because we, despite the fact that we're physical people, but we live in the dimension of eternity, spiritual dimension. Our spirit is eternal, and while spirit is in our body, we live. Spirit is eternity that is found in our body. And so, time is the program that is contained in the seed of eternity in the format of the Word of God, which dwells forever and sprouts and discovers itself in the transition from death to eternal life. When we pass on from death to eternal life, when the time comes for us to die, The seed of eternity sprouts. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 5:24. So he does not pass into judgment. God is not going to judge him because he has already passed on to eternal life. When he has accepted Christ on the foundations of his statutes, he had accepted the seed of the kingdom of heaven in the format of a deposit. He had placed it into circulation, and he had received the kingdom of heaven as his belonging, not in the seed, but in the fruit of his spirit. Furthermore, time is the order of growing eternity in ourselves, and the limits of which it is necessary to dwell and observe. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he was leveled, he has leveled the surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat and rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in right judgment. His God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin. But the black cumin is beat out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 24 through 29. So here, in this place of Scripture, the Lord wanted to show how the order of growth. There is a time to sow and a time to reap. And when saints, before it is necessary to reap, they begin to sow. They begin to run to some kind of evangelistic fields, but they need to reap their fruit that they have grown. They are not prepared for this harvest. They don't know the time of their death. Time is a commandment that is necessary to observe and before which it is necessary to tremble. He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment. You see, there is a time and judgment. Time and judgment are bound by one yoke, because for every matter there is a time and judgment. So every time has its own judgment, though the misery of man increases gratefully, because he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? Who will tell him if he doesn't have this person in his life? If the only person that can tell him is his own head, his own intellect. His intellect says, I don't agree with this. I don't understand this in this way. All of these people who say, I don't agree with this. I don't understand it this way. I have my own head. I have my own Bible. They are candidates of hell. Time is the indelible law of renewal that must be looked at with respect and fear. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. Sometimes, people oftentimes speak these words. I got up in the morning, everything is good. All right, according to the mercy of God, we have not been consumed. Okay, wicked and lawless people. The whole world lives like this. They wake up early and they can say the same thing. We're not talking about this in this place of Scripture. That according to in Scripture, regarding the renewal of the morning, is the resurrection. This is referring to a renewed thinking, not just in the morning you get up and everything is good. No, you can get up ailing with the word of understanding, with the revelation of God, knowing life and death. God continually wants to reveal himself so that we can acknowledge him and know him. Time is the unique and unrepeated opportunity to inherit either a curse or a blessing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. You see here, our words are poured out in time. We must be careful what words we are speaking. If we proclaim words of the the faith of God that dwells in our heart, then we will inherit eternal life. If we proclaim the words that are written in Scripture that are not yet engraved in our heart, then we will perish. This will be incriminated to us as a crime, because we had the audacity to attribute to ourselves that which is not in our heart. People have been taught, it's written, repeat. Repeat it. First, place it in your heart. Engrave it. Through instruction and faith, you must know how you can write the law of God in your heart. And it can be engraved only through the acceptance of the person who has the seed of the word of life, who has been anointed by God with the powers of fatherhood of God. Only by hearing the word of God can we accept into our heart that word and affirm it, ratify it by the proclamations of our lips. Let it be to me according to your word. Time is the doctor or healer who heals the wounds of the heart, the instructions of which must be followed. Psalms chapter 132, verses 1 through 5. Here it talks about how David healed his wounds. God gave him time as medicine, as a healer, to heal our wounds. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. This is where this medicine is, medicine, time, where when a person in time begins to search for God during some kind of afflictions, during some kind of reproaches that have fallen on him, when the enemies rise up against him, he sees this. And there where he himself falls and gets back up, he begins to search for God in time. And finding him, he is comforted. Time is the rule and steward, putting everyone and everything in their places, which belong to them, which are impossible and useless to cross. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You see, in time there exists sowing and harvest. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. How do you sow in the flesh? You can't sow in the flesh some kind of material goods. And the Spirit is sown the kingdom of heaven, the incorruptible treasures. And when you meditate how to become rich, and when you preach this, what are you doing? You are sowing in the flesh. When you honor God in tithes and offerings in order to materially become rich, you are sowing in the flesh. We must simply honor God in tithes, our offerings, and receive great pleasure from this, and await for the revelation of God, of the knowledge of Him, revelation of our calling and our purpose. Time that is in the authority of God is a supreme judge that is necessary to honor and whose judgment must be relied upon. This is what David said to Saul. Saul, who had persecuted him and sought to kill him, the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As a proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 12 through 14. He knew that Saul was the anointed man of God, but he was not a warrior of prayer. And only because he was anointed man of God, and he had unlawfully used this anointing instead of using this anointing for the Philistines, for the annihilation of them, he took 3,000 men with him who were anointed by God, and he himself was anointed, and he sought to kill David and those who were with him, another anointed king. And we talked about how Saul is the mind of a person that is not renewed by the spirit of the mind, but has been anointed by God, for that simple reason that his spirit is still an infant. It's too early to anoint him. And therefore, he, not being a warrior of prayer, constantly said, this is how I understand this. This is better for me, and I thought not to kill this king. I had fulfilled all of that, what your God has said. And now for the mind that has been anointed by God, that has not gone through death, God is not its God. He says, your God, but not our God. When the mind goes through death, when it is renewed, then it will say, our God. And then he will submit himself to the word of Samuel, to the time is a harsh executioner, suddenly and unquestioningly executing the death sentence for those who do not prepare themselves for death accordingly. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. To wait for Christ in time in salvation means to live according to the laws of the future age. This means to look upon the invisible, to call the inexistent as existent, to not listen to our emotions, but to be based off of that information that we hear through the preached word of God. This is what it means to wait for him in salvation. And when a person does this, he will always know when his time to die has come. Time is a teacher and guide from eternal death to eternal life for those who cherished it. But now ask the beasts and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. So God is the guide from eternal death to eternal life. Eternal death is a person living in the body, but not according to the laws of the Most High. He has repented, come to God, he accepted the seed of salvation in the format of a deposit, but he has been told that he's already saved. How are you saved? You just place a deposit for the house, but you don't have enough money to purchase the house, to buy it fully. You're saved? It's written there that after we have accepted salvation, it's written, and now save your souls. This is referring to those that are saved, but they don't save. They say, oh, okay, save your souls means to go and evangelize. No. It's necessary to offer fruit to God. You can receive salvation in the format of a fruit when you place it into circulation, that deposit you received. To place into circulation to die with the death, with the cross of the Lord Jesus to your nation, to your household, and to your corrupt desires. Only then are you ready to accept the seed of the kingdom of heaven. You will have a good soil. But before this, your heart has not been cleansed from dead works. Yes, you've been born of God, but you're in a neutral state. You must come to a kind of state in which you must choose between good and evil, but you're incapable of choosing. Whoever drinks just the milk is unskilled in discerning. Time is a gift of God for which we must be thankful, and a treasure that is necessary to value and cherish. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. We know who God calls is the wise, and so I will lay wisdom inside all the wise, so that they may do all that I have told you. Or just as Daniel had prayed, you give wisdom to the wise and understanding to the reasonable. We know that a wise heart is a heart that has been cleansed from dead works, where through the preached word, through instruction in faith, we will place the law of God in the format of the reigning teaching of Christ. And when this law is there, then the heart is wise, then God places his wisdom there, the Holy Spirit that will come and reveal the truth in your heart. Because when we accept this law, the teaching of Jesus Christ, there's a law that's unknown to us. But we don't throw away that which is not unknown to us. Just as it is written, we accept it and we wait for the revelation. That's why David had prayed and said, you have loved truth in the heart, and inside me you have given given me wisdom. When there is truth inside of us placed there, and if there is something placed there that is other than the teaching of Christ, something that may be called the teaching of Christ, but is forged, I've asked people questions, episcopals, brothers, you are righteous, you are holy. They said, no, only a prideful person can say that I am righteous and I am holy. You see, they don't consider themselves holy and righteous. If they don't consider themselves that, where are they going to bring the people? I said, how are you going to practice righteousness? Only the righteous can do works of righteousness, and only the holy can be sanctified. You think that God, being righteous and holy, has given birth to you unrighteous and unholy? They can't acknowledge righteousness and holiness in them because they don't look at the work of God that He has done in Christ Jesus by making them, by way of their birth from God, holy and righteous. But they look instead at their own flesh, at their feelings, and they say, no, we are not yet perfect. I've been angered, I lied, I stole something, I'm not perfect. You are perfect in Christ Jesus. He gives birth to you as His child, and then you will grow in this perfection, because the perfection of God is comprised of the fact that He was a servant of His word, and your perfection will be comprised when you will be a servant of His word. But for this, you need to carry it in your heart. You must prepare the soil of your heart. You must cleanse it. Time is the reward of eternity for the good deeds and works in the period of our life. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. We many times talked about this wonderful revelation that blessed are those who die in the Lord. Who? Those who are dead. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. How can, if he's dead, how can he die once again? He has died to sin so that he can live for God. These dead are the blessed because they have died to sin so that they can live for righteousness. Previously, the members of their body were servants of righteousness. Now they have given up the members of the righteousness to slaves of righteousness. Why? Because they had died to sin in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had left their nation, the house of their father, and their corrupt desires. Time is the just and inevitable retribution for loyalty and faithfulness to its status. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her King in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 19-20. You see, God hears the cry of His people, His daughters. He hears it when they say, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her King in her? Why did they say this? Because God grew quiet. He stopped talking to them, communicating with them. He allowed them to continue in the past, saying, why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. They have not been prepared for death. Foreign idols in the heart of a person is his intellect, which he looks at as his God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have become his idol. Anointing has become his idol. Evangelism, good works have become his idols. He doesn't rely on the one who blesses. He searches for this blessing. He doesn't rely on the giver. He relies on the gift. Not understanding that these are gifts, that these oftentimes are forged, because the Holy Spirit is the master. He himself finds through whom he must act. It's impossible to learn how to exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses them and gives them to whom he wishes and pleases and finds necessary. Based on such characteristics, time defines our feeding from our mother's breasts. And when this time is up, feeding from our mother's breasts means to skip our time or break God's established order of eternity. The order of eternity that act in time, which has been given to us as a treasure and as a gift of eternity for use and for achieving the first goal, to allow God, by the sound of the still small wind, to settle in us, to live in us, and to expand in us, and for us in turn to settle in Him, as well as to live and expand in Him. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 17. He cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has passed by the appointed time. He was given time for him to be able to acknowledge who the God of Israel is. He was supposed to acknowledge this when Joseph was called to the throne, and when Joseph had saved the whole world from hunger, not just Egypt, and when his grandfather gave him the name Zaphnaphaneah, the Savior of the world. He was supposed to know this, but he had missed the time for the knowledge of God. He began to be swayed by different kinds of things and the different revelations he received, and he missed out on the time, and then calamity fell. And God, with the 10 plagues, had destroyed Egypt and the best, choicest army of Egypt. Having missed the opportunity or time in which it was necessary to place oneself in the position of a child taken from the breast of the mother, which for a certain time was a necessary component in our formation in the image of God, their mother's breast turned into a danger that threatens our formation in this image. Here is a good example, Matthew chapter 25, verses 10 through 12. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. So it turns out that in order to purchase this wisdom, to seal it in her heart, this oil is God's wisdom with the union of Urim and Thummim. The foolish virgins, they accepted only that which they understood with their mind, and they did not accept it with their heart. They were not taught how to accept it with their heart, and not because they don't want to be taught this. For them, their intellect was so valuable that they said, do I not have my own head? And they came when they saw that something had occurred. They saw that the lamp is burning, but they are dying. They saw the difference between themselves and these people, but before this, they did not see it. But when the night had passed, both had fixed their lamps. For some of them, it dimmed out, and the others, it was burning. They begin, the ones for whom their lamps died out, they went to die to God. You talk to people, they don't know the beginning truths of justification. And all of a sudden, the foolish virgins had to go and pay a price to purchase it. There was a time that was given them when they had to purchase. They came and purchased it, and this parable says, afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. So this means, I do not know you, as people who must be raptured. This doesn't mean that these foolish virgins had perished. They just missed out on the time when it was necessary to place it into their vessels. They saw that the others were prepared. This will occur, as I had said, when the wise, through this oil that is inside, these promises, their bodies will be transformed. When in a state of corruption, they will be in a state of incorruption. They will pass on to the state of incorruption. The others will see, well, how are you able to do this? What is this? How are you able to come to this? We've talked about this before, but you said that this will occur only when we're going to be raptured. You see, before the rapture, this has occurred. And before we are raptured, we must be transformed. And God has given this promise of the redemption of our body, not in eternity, but here in time. He has redeemed our spirit, our soul in time, and what He's going to redeem our body in eternity? No. He had talked about the redemption of the spirit, soul, and body in the dimension of time. And this promise of the adoption of our bodies, the redemption of Christ, is called to be fulfilled before the harvest during the end days. And this is very important. The wisdom of the wise virgins was that in the time that was given to them, they took care to fill their vessels with oil, to purchase this oil from the one who was selling it, to accept the authority of the one who sells and not go based off our own head, but from the head of the one who sells. Whereas the foolishness of the foolish virgins was that they did not care to fill their vessels with oil at the time given to them by God. They didn't acknowledge, they didn't fully to the end acknowledge the anointed man of God who would be the lips and mouth of God. And they interpreted his words, and they oftentimes attributed his revelations to their own intellect, and they had portrayed it as their own. To test oneself for the ability to determine the approach of the time of one's death or the time of his weighing on the scales of truth, I will give an example, although many more like it exist in Scripture. It is not the only one. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn. Please tell me, David had lots of sons, but when his time and daughters, but when his time approached to die, he bequeathed only to one of his sons, Solomon, that he would be firm and courageous and kept his God's commandment, walking his paths and observing his statutes and commandments. What is the reason for this? The reason for this was that according to God's revelation, David handed over to Solomon the throne of his kingdom. Thus, the son of David, Solomon, represented the fruit of his womb, through which David continued to reign over Israel. This was his Solomon, his son, to whom he had given his kingdom, his fruit. He continued to reign over Israel over through his fruit. In our case, the fruit of our spirit is represented in the image of Solomon in the dignity of the king, through which we reigned over our bodies in accordance with the requirements of God's will. If we can test ourselves for the presence of the possibility of the fruit of our spirit to reign with our renewed thinking over the sphere of our emotions, then this means that we will know when our time approaches to die, so that when we are weighed on the scales of truth, we will not be found light. And therefore, when our time draws near to die, in which God will weigh us on the scales of truth, practice of the gift of the Holy Spirit and evangelism will not make any difference. What will make a difference is the ability to rule over ourselves that will meet the requirements of perfection which the Heavenly Father has, because the Heavenly Father rules over himself through his word. That is going to be expressed in our rational ability to the Word of God in the Holy Spirit who reveals the truth in the heart. If we rule over our body, and this will be expressed in our rational ability on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit who reveals the truth in our heart, this will mean that we are prepared for death and it's not going to come unexpectedly for us. At the conclusion of this sermon, I want to testify that a few days before her death, Sister Luba called me, said goodbye to me, and thanked me for the power of the word she lived by, and said that she was prepared to die. And that she wished to go to her eternal home, prepared for her by God. Therefore, may God bless us to value time so as to acquire a wise heart, so that at any time chosen by God, we may be ready for death, in which God will weigh us on the scales of truth to give us an inheritance with the saints. Amen.
последних часов считает время. День за днем и год уж позади. Сколько их уже кануло вечность, сколько еще будет впереди.
Пусть проходят быстро год за годом, буду ждать мне с Богом, не страшна.
Пропастью большой ужас смерти вихрем пронесется над твоей усталой душой.
Но в молитве руки ты поднимешь, и польются слезы в тишине. Молитва в небо дверь откроет, лишь доверься ты ему вполне.
Что трудное в дороге выпадет на долю иногда. Помни, если трудности не будет, счастья не узнаешь никогда.
Господь благословит сполна.